Welcome to the Mindful Sports Podcast, Episode 2. I'm Coach Sam.
Mindful Sports, teaching mindfulness and sports together.
Today, we're joined by Brian Lopez, a PsyD candidate at the PGSP Stanford PsyD Consortium. Brian Lopez has an extensive background in psychology, using mindfulness in a clinical setting. And today we're fortunate enough to have him here to talk a little bit about his experience with mindfulness. Welcome, Brian. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sam. I'm excited to be here.
So Brian, I'd love for you to start just by sharing a little bit with our listeners about your background in graduate school with psychology and where mindfulness has started to come into play with some of what you've learned in working with your clients.
Sure. So I started grad school in 2016, and I would say that my program tends to emphasize evidence-based treatments. And so in my clinical training, I learned about ACT, which stands for Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, and DBT, which stands for Dialectical Behavior Therapy. And both of those treatment protocols use mindfulness as like a core component of treatment. So I learned that theoretical background in grad school. And then once I started doing practicums, and practicums are known as externships on the East Coast, but they're kind of like part-time jobs doing clinical training with real clients. And so I started applying ACT and DBT and using mindfulness ever since my first practicum, which was at a VA site. And I've also used it in a forensic site with people on pretrial or on probation. And I'm currently using it in the college counseling sites where I currently work out.
That's awesome, man. Can you take our listeners through, just briefly, if you can, a little bit about the process of how you feel the mindfulness process works when you're working with clients? It sounds like you already have extensive hours and training when you're working with people. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about the specifics, the mechanisms of where you're using mindfulness and how you've seen it to be helpful.
So I try to tailor my treatment to the needs of the client. And so we collaborate on goals. And I found that with some patients, they're noticing that they're very reactive. They're like really frustrated and they're really snappy, or they're irritated with their partners. Also, some people with substance use disorders kind of have these really strong cravings, and their only coping mechanism was the substance they were addicted to. And so I will offer mindfulness as a skill that they can learn, that we can practice in session. And I start by defining it. And so maybe you already talked about this, but there are four little parts that I use to define it. So it's paying attention on purpose to the present moment, non-judgmentally. And so I give a little bit of psychoeducation on what that means and how it can be helpful. And so often some people tend to dwell on the past, and there can be some regret or some negative feelings, and then that affects how we feel in the current moment. And so thinking about the past too much can hurt our productivity or our ability to feel good about ourselves. And sometimes that can lead to clinical depression. Sometimes it doesn't reach that level. On the other side, some people tend to worry a lot about the future and think about possible scenarios and what if this happens, what if that happens. And this can look like anxiety symptoms or reach the level of a diagnosed clinical anxiety disorder. And then the counter to both of these things is mindfulness. And so if you're not dwelling on the past or the future, if you're using your senses to be in the present moment, then you're going to be in a much calmer state of mind. And so if I get some buy-in and they're interested in learning this skill, then that's where we go from there.
Well put, well said. Are there any anecdotes that you can share, of course, respecting privacy. But are there any anecdotes that you can share with us where you've found a circumstance or a situation where that type of training has been really effective for you as a future clinician?
For my clients, yeah. Right? Yeah, I guess I'm seeing one client right now. She's a young woman and she's getting into daily arguments with her partner. And they're distressing to her because this is the only time that she's ever angry. And she says, she describes these arguments as getting very ugly. A lot of insults back and forth. And so we started practicing some mindfulness, just doing some daily check-ins. We set a time about 30 minutes before she calls her partner who is in another country. And so we started just doing like a quick breathing technique to kind of practice for this, for her own kind of outside therapy implementation of this skill. So we do some deep breathing, we do a body scan, we ask ourselves what we're feeling, and that way we're not so reactive. If she's noticing that she is stressed about schoolwork or is lonely from not being able to see her friends because of COVID, she can feel her feelings, label these feelings, and then have something to talk about with her partner as opposed to just like feeding off of the negative energy from these unpleasant feelings and lashing out at her partner. And so that's like a quick little way that it's been helpful for one of my clients.
I know that you've mentioned a few times now the word reactivity, and that's something that we certainly discuss a lot in mindful sports and the difference between reactions and responses and the way that mindfulness can help us form a different response as opposed to just falling into that reaction that you're describing. And I'm curious in your experience if you've also found situations where mindfulness may not have been as helpful for situations like that.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think there are people that are already in their heads a lot, and people around them get a little impatient when they're too reflective. And so that's one situation where I feel that maybe they're being too mindful. They're kind of preparing too much. And I think like most things, we needed some balance in our lives.
Agreed. Balance is always great to come back to. But I think what you said is important for my next question, where if one area that it might be tough for people to use mindfulness is if they're already reflective, is then transitioning to how we can use mindfulness in a sports setting where things are happening quickly and people need to move and make decisions that are more reactive in that moment. And I'm just curious, as someone who grew up playing sports like you did, playing basketball, what your message might be to young athletes and how they might be able to use mindfulness?
That's a good question. And I have worked with some clients who brought in some performance issues on the field. And I'm thinking of one client with a lot of self-doubt, was a very gifted soccer player. And his earlier relationship with like his coaches was that like, you need to be hard on yourself to excel. And so setting up these high expectations brought on anxiety before the games, during the games, after the games. And it was hindering his ability to perform at his best. And so by practicing mindfulness and like trying to learn to be aware of his thoughts and like what kind of like insecure thoughts were popping up before and during the games, like I think the first step is noticing. If you can notice that you're being hard on yourself, if you're noticing that like, oh, if I get a chance to score a goal, I have to score a goal, that you're not going to be in that moment. You're not going to be ready for that ball for that moment if you're worried about it so much. Like I'm thinking about like being in the zone. Like being in the zone, it's like you're almost like thoughtless. like in a state where you're ready for anything. You're not worried about anything. You're just ready for it. And so I think mindfulness can help you get to that point.
I think that's framed very well. And for our listeners who play sports, I'm sure that they're familiar with that concept that you just mentioned, being in the zone. And there is a lot of research that shows correlations between mindfulness and that state, which is often referred to as a flow state. I think that your description is very poignant, and that mindfulness can help young athletes or athletes of all ages prepare for being in that space. So that is all the time that we have for this episode. Brian, just want to thank you for your time and sharing your experience with us. It was great to talk with you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be on your show, and maybe I can be a guest speaker next time.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great, man. So thank you everybody for tuning in, and join us next month for episode 3 of the Mindful Sports Podcast.